time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
On today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, Jaden Daniels out indefinitely, dislocated elbow against the Seahawks. The Bills take the Chiefs out of the playoff picture with a 28-21 win. And the Steelers, we're in that Mike Tomlin cycle. I said it on Friday. We're in that cycle. And this is the part of the cycle where he reels you back in as the Steelers get the upset win over the Colts. Probably game of the year. Bears with a thrilling 47-42 win on Sunday. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. CJ Medeiros with Justin Tucker. I'm Chris Kostich. Glad for you to join us for another Tuesday episode. As boy, what a week 9. Week 8, we saw only one game that was decided by one score. And this week, oh, how the turntables. Unfortunately, we're going to start with a blowout loss and probably the saddest story from the weekend. Jaden Daniels suffers a dislocated elbow in a blowout loss to the Seahawks. Before we get to the injury, I mean, the Commanders' postseason hopes, I think, were cooked once the Seahawks went up 21-0 in the first quarter or the second quarter, whatever it was. After that, I mean, Sam Darnold, 17-17. Insane. Seahawks are gangbusters. Obviously, big story is that they're definitely going to be a top contending team. But yeah, Washington, their playoff hopes were shot out the window in the first quarter of this game. And then, of course, now you add on the Jaden Daniels injury, which gruesome injury. I didn't see it live. I was doing some work. And all of a sudden, I hear the life, just the entire stadium gasp. And I look up, and there's Jaden Daniels down on the ground. I initially thought it was a knee injury, which I would assume most people thought, which my immediate thought process, and I texted to you guys, it's RG3 all over again. Now, the one good thing is that, you know, it's an arm injury. Non-throwing arm, which is probably the best you could get out of this, but still, goodness, that Jaden Daniels cannot stay healthy to save his life right now. Obviously my RG3 text comparison was maybe a little bit jumping the gun, but in this case, it kind of makes sense. RG3 was injury prone. Now we're seeing Jaden Daniels and he can't stay healthy. He was able to stay healthy his rookie year, and now the hits are starting to catch up to him. I'm hoping it's not, but boy, it's not, especially in a season where Washington as a whole has been struggling. Jaden Daniels obviously can't stay healthy, but hasn't performed the way that he was last season. Things aren't looking too great. Things are looking pretty bleak right now in Washington. Tuck, we'll start with you. Your thoughts from this whole storyline?
Well, the Commanders weren't in a particularly good spot, especially with their wide receiver being down in Terry McLaurin. And then I looked at the wide receiving core that they had on the field, and I thought, dear God, there's not much help here. Then I saw Sam Darnold go perfect in the first half, and then I was like, this has gotten really bad. Then I saw 38-7, I thought, it's gotten worse. And then Jaden Daniels goes down with the dislocated elbow, and I thought, this is the worst thing that could have happened to them at this particular moment in time. Granted, he shouldn't have been out on the field 38-7. Granted, he should have never been put in that position. And now I think it's time for them to just say, forget this season. Let's just move on to next season. Let's just put him on season-ending IR and just call it a day. Don't let him come back for the rest of the season. There's not enough talent to win. I feel like they're maybe a year or 2 years away from actually competing. This team is a disaster right now, and it's time to pack it in. Not quit, just pack it in for this season and be like, I don't think we're capable of making the playoffs with this talent right now. And Jaden McDaniels is injured, and he shouldn't have been put in that position to begin with. I think it's just time to – I'm sorry, Jaden Daniels shouldn't have been put in that position in the first place. I think it's time to sit him down. I think it's time to get a look at – get another quarterback in there. Anybody but Marcus Mariota, because I'm sick and tired of looking at him as well. Just put Josh Johnson in and just call it a season. Just do that. All in all, bad. This was horrible all around for the Commanders organization.
Another quick point, too, kind of piggyback off of that, like just mail it in or just call it a season. I mean, you look at this team, and this is on average, in terms of average age, it's like the oldest team in the league. And when you combine that with other injuries, not to mention Marshawn Lattimore and McCaffrey also now out for the year too. Not to mention that, but old injuries doesn't mix for a good football team. And you got to think that they already got to go back into rebuild mode for next season. Like it's kind of weird to think that already. CJ.
Well, yeah, the way the season has gone, some people call it a temporary setback, but like you mentioned, you're going to have to do, more likely than not, a mini rebuild. Because you are already old. Like you said, the oldest team in the league going into this season, which granted Bobby Wagner might be throwing that off. But hey, you know, we love Bobby Wagner. I'm not – there's no hate to him in that specific regard. It's just you cannot be considered one of the up-and-coming teams if you are the football equivalent of a retirement home. That's just not how it was going to work. And like you mentioned, you actually beat me too, because I was going to say Marshawn Lattimore, torn ACL, done for the year. Luke McCaffrey, fractured collarbone, done for the year. And apparently there is some hope that Daniels isn't done for the year. I read he was out indefinitely. But to Tuck's point, why the hell would he even play? You got to say, nope, this season's lost. Like, it's over. They're 3-6. The Eagles seem to have a stranglehold on your division. Just wrap it up. Just, it's over. There's no sense in like a meaningless week 15, 16 game throwing Daniels back out there and just on a prayer and saying, oh, well, I hope he doesn't get hurt again. Because look, the only way I can describe the Daniels injury is insult to injury. Because think about it. At halftime, it was 31-7. The game was over. Washington, this is not last year's Commanders team. It's blatantly obvious they do not have the horses to come back. And, you know, it was 38-7 to start the fourth quarter. And then when it looks like things can't get any worse, Jaden Daniels goes down on a botched QB scramble where his own arm got pinned under him. It was got to be among the top five worst football injuries I've seen on TV. Or at least worst in recent memory. The only thing I think that comes close is when Raheem Mostert was on the 49ers and his right here, his forearm snapped. That was ugh.
I don't know. But, I'd probably put Nick Chubb up there.
Oh yeah, Nick Chubb. No, Adam. No, Adam invoked Joe Theismann. None of us were.
We're not going to put in Joe Theismann. That was in the 80s.
Yeah, we weren't alive unless Adam is much older than he
was. We are talking
recent history, but yeah, no, that. No, Adam, Cam Scabu's not worse than a guy literally getting a third elbow, but we can debate that later, or a second elbow.
Cam Scabu also had his
dude. Someone's forearm snapped in half. That was bad, but we're missing the point.
Anyways.
So the game was already over for the Commanders was my point. Yeah, it's like that Daniels injury was just gruesome to watch. In that game, he was already 16-22, 153 yards. Did have a rushing touchdown, also had a pick. He had 51 yards on the ground, but we kind of already knew the direction that their season was going, and now it's just confirmed. It's over. It's a lost season. You kind of just have to sit there and take your medicine for the rest of the year. That's the way I would describe it, but now, man, like, I mean, it sucks, especially, you know, since you guys mentioned the RG3 comparisons are starting, you know, exciting mobile QB that just can't stay healthy. Well, keep in mind, Daniels was already banged up. This was like his first game back in a while. So honestly, there's no use, I hate to say it, but throw in the towel, your season's over, put him on season-ending IR. I know it's like, oh, but he's out indefinitely. That doesn't mean for the rest of the year. Well, it should. Yeah. It's over. That's all.
Yeah. We're halfway through the season right now. Writing's on the wall for Washington.
Yeah, they're 3-6, so.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Bills and Chiefs. Bills getting another regular season victory over the Chiefs. What a surprise. All that and more. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. The Chiefs, now out of the playoff picture at this point, heading into Week 10, as they take a loss to the Bills 28-21. This is back-to-back really good wins now for the Bills ever since the bye week and going into said bye week with on a losing streak. So looking at the Bills real quick, this felt like the typical Bills-Chiefs regular season game where the Bills defense makes a couple big plays that set themselves up for victory. Granted, obviously they kind of gave the Chiefs one last breath of hope with the doink of a field goal with 20 seconds left. But regardless of that, still a great win overall. And Josh Allen now at the top of the MVP voting odds at the moment with this win. For the Chiefs, they're not down and out. They're not down and out. I made this point after Week 4, they had a bit of a gauntlet of a schedule through the first month and a half of the season. And made the same point, of course, with the Eagles. Like, you're not like, obviously, if you're going to be a top team, here's the Adam currently has the for the listeners, Adam currently has the AFC playoff picture up right now, which sees the Colts and the Patriots at the top. Colts still having the advantage because of conference record at 7-2, 6-1 conference record. Pats at 7-2, Broncos at 7-2. Pats currently had the advantage on the Broncos because of strength of victory. Pittsburgh at 5-3, top of the AFC North at 4. Bills top wild card spot, Chargers, Jaguars, and the Chiefs at 5-4, one spot out from a playoff spot at the moment behind Jacksonville, who are at 5-3. And the Texans at 3-5 are currently holding the 9th spot. How about that? Crazy to think that the Texans are still alive for a playoff spot. Thank you, Adam. So that's what we're looking at right now. It feels like 2014 all over again. It's great. I love life. But what to make of this? CJ, we'll start with you.
Well, stop me if you've heard this one before. Another Josh Allen regular season win against Mahomes. And now, for the 6th gorillionth year in a row, can he get it done in the postseason? Surely this is the year, right, my fellow Americans? Right? I mean, look, this tells us nothing. I'm sorry. It tells us nothing. Until Josh Allen beats Mahomes in the playoffs, I'm going to look at when he beats Mahomes the regular season and say, and? I mean, don't get me wrong. That's good. You know, you had your get-right game against the Panthers. That was huge. Then, you know, you handled business at home against the Chiefs, fended off, you know, last-second rally because you doinked a field goal. And, yeah, well, don't get me wrong. That's good. And you knocked the Chiefs out of the playoff picture. I'm sure that's satisfying. But until you get it done in the playoffs, you're going to forgive me if I don't care. Well, it's not that I don't care. It's just, you know, like I'm not saying, oh, this is the turning point, everyone. It's happening. And it gets, there's even more for me.
Wait, before you get there, would I make you care more if I told you that the Bills held Patrick Mahomes to under 50%?
Yes, that's where I was going, by the way. That's actually where I was going. I was just going to say, like, look, it's impressive, but do that in the postseason. Like just do that in the postseason. Yeah, and Adam's chirping me behind the scenes like he always does. Like, that's cool, buddy. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the thing is, this was the game that when we look at the MVP race, right? This is the game that hurts Mahomes. 15 of 34, 250 yards, no touchdowns, not even scrambling, and he did have an interception. So, yeah, I mean, from an MVP standpoint, this was really ugly for him. I mean, sure, the grand calculus of his stats looks better, but not beating the Bills, that's just going to hurt his odds at like a, what, like a third, fourth MVP. So, yeah, but for the Bills, it's a great win. You know, it keeps you, you know, you're right on New England's tail, you know, since they currently lead the division. But it's not over yet. And the Bills, I definitely think, needed this.
Chuck.
Man, it feels good to see Chiefs out of the playoffs. It feels mighty good. That's the first thing. Second off, just as much as the Bills struggle to beat the Chiefs when it matters most, the opposite is true. When it doesn't really matter, they beat them in the regular season almost all the time. I don't know how this happens. I know I said the Bills were going to win because this always happens, but like they always find a way to win in the regular season. They just can't seem to do it in the postseason, regardless if it's home or away. So all in all, congrats to Josh Allen. He was able to do enough to win the game. James Cook, the rest of the guys. But when I look at the Chiefs, that was a very winnable game if only Patrick Mahomes was just better from the pocket. I'm not going to lie, going below 50% passing completion isn't ideal, but I feel like the Buffalo defense did a great job in dealing with Patrick Mahomes as a whole. All in all, to keep it simple, I expected this to happen. I thought the Bills were going to win. I don't care if I was right or wrong. I don't like either of these teams, and congrats to the Bills.
Would you guys say this is more telling of the Bills defense or Patrick Mahomes? Because I feel like it's more telling for the Bills defense.
I don't know. On the one hand, they feel like they could be a good defense, and then on the other hand, they give up. I don't know how to describe them. They're like middle of the pack to me. They could be good, but sometimes they have games where it's like, what are they doing? You understand? Like the game against Atlanta. It's like,
yeah.
Come on. Giving up that 81-yarder to Bijan Robinson wasn't ideal. So it's like, as much as I wanted, like, sing high praises for that Buffalo defense, because when they're on, they're very good. On the other hand, they have very off games as well.
Honestly, I think it's about equal. You know, like you said, the Bills, you know, they'll pile drive the Panthers, you know, but they also lost to the Falcons of all teams. They'll beat the Chiefs, but then lose to the Pats. Meanwhile, there have been games where Mahomes has just played ugly like this. And it used to be, oh, if Mahomes played ugly, the defense would save them. Well, the defense is one of the older units in the league, and it's showing. The offensive line, they did not adequately address that this offseason, so it's not entirely on Mahomes. Losing Tooney hurt a lot more than I think they are anticipating. So, honestly, it's about equal. It says a lot about both.
Yeah. Looking at the Chiefs' upcoming schedule, they got Denver on the road at Mile High and then a tough task against the Colts. Basically, they got back-to-back weeks, Colts and Dallas, back-to-back weeks of having to face, like, insane offensive production. So that's going to be a huge task for the defense. Of course, Denver having a pretty damn good defense themselves. And then you got Houston, which you should win that game. So I could see them going 2-2 in this stretch, which would put them at 7-6 going into the month of December. But I think high end, they could easily be 8-5 at the same time, because Denver is a very weird team themselves. But Denver's also a team, which we just saw them against Houston, is a team that can more likely than not come out with a win in a bullshit game. But yeah, Adam has the stats there for Mahomes. 44% completion percentage, 57.1 passer rating, and a interception thrown as well, which the interception itself was bad pick. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Colts, let's just go right into it. Colts falling to the Steelers. MVP candidates Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor both struggling in this game. This was the typical Mike Tomlin game that I predicted on Friday, where we are in this part of the Mike Tomlin cycle of everyone is down and out. They're calling for Tomlin's head. Shit. Steelers fans had a funeral for their defense, for their secondary in the parking lot prior to the game. And not to say that the Steelers offense really didn't. They really just capitalized on what the defense did. And that was the big story, was that the Steelers defense showed up and shut down Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor. Another little tidbit. This was the first, like, legit outdoor, on like, natural playing surface that the Colts have played on all season. And, boy, do they look like indoor warriors right now. Now, I don't want to believe that – I don't want to jump on the wagon just yet of Daniel Jones has reverted back to his Giants days. Right now, I'm going to keep it to the Sam Darnold logic at the moment from last year, where right now Daniel Jones is a good quarterback, and good quarterbacks have bad games. So that's what I'm going to chalk it up to at the moment. But still not a great test. And Tuck, we'll start with you since this more or less involves you in the AFC North. But yeah, just take the floor.
Before I get started, I would like to say there will be no objectivity or no unbiased in my comments. I'm just going to make that perfectly clear. First and foremost, man, fuck the Colts. Let's just get that out the way. Let's just get that out the way. Danny, this is the last time I'll let you guys talk me into a quarterback like Danny Jones. I will never forgive you guys for telling me he is.
Whoa. I did not talk you into it. You were the one that was insisting on calling him Danny Dimes of Vanilla Vic. So don't put that on me.
Those were his nicknames, and you guys said he could be like Sam Darnold. You guys told me I was overreacting to it.
I said could. Doesn't mean he's 100%.
I don't want to hear it. Two interceptions, five turnovers on the day. I'm not hearing it today. I can't. Three interceptions. We're not going to get into it. Jonathan Taylor did a whole bunch of nothing yesterday. That offensive line was getting pushed back like Stephen A's hairline. I cannot believe what I was watching that entire game. That Steelers team actually looked competent on the defensive side of the ball. Oh, my goodness. I can't stand that team. And they actually made them look good. Actually a threat in the playoffs. How can you tell me with a straight face that these guys are contenders and then get abused like stepchildren to these Pittsburgh Steelers? I was trying to convince myself. I was so happy on Sunday. I was so happy watching this game because they went up 7-0. I'm like, here comes Indianapolis. 24 unanswered points. Am I supposed to be happy about that? Down 17 late in the third, and you're supposed to convince me, oh, they're going to do something. And then they get to midfield, and all of a sudden, he throws an interception. I can't do this. I was supposed to be happy. I was like, we're taking another step forward as a Ravens fan. Here we come. Nope. They actually got past the Colts. Jonathan Taylor, who was supposed to be a league MVP candidate, did a whole bunch of nothing yesterday. That defense, I can't even blame them. They just got put in bad spots by that damn offense led by the one and only Daniel Jones. You guys take the floor. You guys can have it.
All right, CJ, let's hear some more unobjective and unbiased analysis here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have had our first Danny Derps sighting in the big 25 NFL season. I'm so happy. But I want, before I give my analysis, I want to take us back to something I said a week or so ago. Remember when we were talking about contenders versus pretenders? I actually use one of Adam's favorite talking points to talk about the Colts. And that's only because it's true. I said, run first teams are terrifying when the run works. And you may remember that I said, God forbid there's ever a game where Jonathan Taylor's not running the rock well and he's falling off and it goes on Daniel Jones. I said, my question was, if Jonathan Taylor's having an off day, can Daniel Jones pick up the slack? The answer is apparently no. Because credit to the Steelers' defense, which I thought was bad. You know, I picked Indy. I'll own it. They kept Jonathan Taylor under 4 yards of carry for, I believe, the first time all season. 14 carries, 45 yards, and my fantasy team suffered for it. But Daniel Jones, they said, all right, it's up to you. You've been playing well this season. Now it's time for you to pass. 31 of 50. 342 yards, granted, one touchdown, three picks, two fumbles lost, five total turnovers. And did the Colts' staunch defense get abused? Yes, they did. But I'll give them a little sprinkle of the benefit of the doubt because those turnovers cost them. They kept, like Tuck said, that defense kept getting put in worse and worse spots. You know, every time Pittsburgh started with a short field, they made Indy's defense pay. And that's not something you can hold on the defense, but let's be real. It was a one-score game. You know, it was 27-20, but I'm sorry. I know Indy had that late-game rally, but those were garbage time points. Those were dressing up the score. If you saw the same game I did, then you know the score lies. It is a scoreboard of lies. It was not a one-score game. Indy struck first, and then Pittsburgh proceeded to take their lunch for three straight quarters. And I mentioned, you know, the MVP standings, right, when we were talking about Bills Chiefs. Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor, they got punched in the mouth right now. They are tumbling down. And this is the type of game where if you're Jonathan Taylor, where if you're saying, I have a case to be MVP this year, this is the type of game that the quarterback purists will shove right in your face and say, well, you know, Pittsburgh did kind of put you in a box. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was already an uphill battle for a non-QB to win MVP. But this game might have just killed it because, you know, the skill position guys, they were skating on thin ice to begin with. We can all agree because that's just the nature of the beast. Quarterback is the most valuable position. And as of now, yeah, Indy, I don't know. I mean, they're good, you know. But what is it Bill Parcells said? You are what your record says you are. But this game, I really don't like that. I mean, the only other team that beat them was the Rams. But, you know, the Rams are also a good team. Up next, you have the Falcons. Hey, the Falcons gave the Pats the business. Of course, the Pats wrestled the win away in the end. But the Falcons aren't a garbage team. Next, you have the Chiefs. I mean, then you have the Texans. That's a division game. You never know which way that goes. They have a ferocious defense as well. So things are getting a little tough. My question is, can they bounce back? I'll take back every bad thing I said if they can bounce back. And not just win, but win convincingly. But if they can't, they might be paper kittens or indoor warriors, as you guys said.
Yeah, no, I that's the thing is, like, you look at that Falcons game, that's overseas, and it's going to be cold overseas. Yeah, I'm not looking at it right now if it's the games in Berlin or London, but that's either way, that's going to be a cold, if it's in London, potentially rainy type of game. The game against the Chiefs on the road in November, that's going to be brick. And then you mentioned the Texans, that's going to be at home. You're going to be indoors for that. Jacksonville, it'll be warm. Seahawks, Seattle in freaking December, that's going to suck. So if the point holds up, then yeah, the Colts could be in a pretty hairy situation the next couple weeks going into that Houston game. So those are going to be those, at least this game against the Falcons, that could be that's going to be a fun one to preview on Friday. Step aside for a quick break. When we come back, probably up there for game of the year, is definitely game of the week. Bears surviving a huge comeback from the Bengals and winning it 47-42. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Get into the Bears and Bengals game. 47-42, right at the buzzer. And this was one of those games that the Bears never win. And we've seen a few of those now. It's like a changing of the guard with Ben Johnson around. And Caleb, like, this was a game where you had to go stupid. Like, you needed to put up 47 points. Granted, the fact you gave up 42 is a whole other story. But that's just Joe Flacco just feeding it to Jamar Chase over and over again, per usual. But this is, I think, the third game now that the Bears have had where if they had Matt Eberflus, they were going to lose this game. And boy, what a comeback from the Bengals. I mean, down 2 scores, 2 minutes left, get the onside kick, take a 1-point lead. But geez, like, this defense cannot tackle. Like, I last, after they lost to the Jets, I saw this TikTok video and it was top 5 worst plays from week 8. Every single play was the Bengals not being able to tackle Breece Hall or whoever on the Jets. Like, these are NFL players that don't know how to tackle. Like, they cannot tackle. And that cost them on the last play of the game on Colson Loveland taking that to the house. There was 3 guys on him. 3 guys, and you can't take him down? Are you kidding me? Pardon my voice, but I said I wasn't going to raise my voice, but God damn, the fundamentals are thrown out the window. It's unbelievable. And, like, if you're the Bears, yeah, you got the win, but God damn. Shit, you blew a 2-score lead with 2 minutes left. I mean, like I said, you knew the Bears were going to, like, in a game like this, you had to put up 47 points, especially against the Bengals defense. You needed to have a game like this. But, geez, there is no reason that it should have gotten to this. Like, obviously, if you put up 47 points, you do it against the Bengals defense, there's still a lot you need to work on. But boy, this is a whole different level. We'll start with the Bears here. CJ.
Well, as far as the Bears go, this, like you said, this would be a game that they lost. Like you said, they blew that 2-score lead in the fourth quarter. Because, yeah, the Bengals offense, they're dangerous. We all knew that. But how about Caleb Williams, 280 yards, 3 touchdowns, trying to prove, you know, that he's not some game manager, not a bust. But the real star, How about Kyle Manongai, the running back? 26 carries, 176 yards. That is 6.8 yards a carry. And on top of that, give him 3 catches for 22 yards as well. Definitely a good guy to keep the chains moving.
Undrafted, right too, I'm pretty sure.
Huh?
Undrafted guy from Rutgers, I'm pretty sure, too.
Yeah, that's right. And who could forget? Colston Loveland's big breakout game, finally, because a lot of people were chirping the Colts, myself included, for passing on Warren to take Loveland. And if you're anything like me, the whole scheme fit argument doesn't really convince me of anything. But hey, Loveland, 6 catches, 118 yards, 2 touchdowns, slice and dicing through the Bengals defense. And honestly, yeah, it was just a great day for the Bears. I mean, yeah, it got a little hairy at the end, but you buckled down and won a game that last year's team definitely would have lost. But as for the Bengals, I want to call their defense 11 pylons, but that, I'm afraid, would be an insult to the pylons. First of all, Joe Flacco, you know, 470 yards, 4 touchdowns, but can't help but wonder if he doesn't throw those 2 picks, you know, maybe, just maybe they win. Maybe, you know, you can't throw 2 interceptions in a shootout. So one thing that I want to point out is, I don't know if you guys saw this, after the game, there was a video of Bengals superstar Ja'Marr Chase venting, saying one effing stop as he was walking back to the locker room. Well, that's pretty much how I think all the Bengals fans feel Ja'Marr. Now, if only they had, you know, cap space to fit on, to spend on a defense, if only they could make that fit. It's almost like Ja'Marr, there are 3 players taking up half their cap space, 3 players who all wanted market setting contracts. Ja'Marr, I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact they can't have a defense. Remember when I had that my whole tirade against Burrow, Chase, and Higgins, saying one of them needed to be an adult and take at minimum a market value deal because they wouldn't have any money to spend on defense? Looks like I've been vindicated, haven't I? Because when you have Burrow you better sign Chase. You know, he didn't say that. When he publicly emasculated the Bengals, you know, and they realized they had no power, that they had to capitulate. And, you know, Joe Burrow wanted his mega deal. And now look, now they're in cap hell and now you have no defense. But it gets even worse than that. Another thing that happened after the game, several of the Bengals defensive players declined to speak with the media, and their defense, did you see what happened after the game? They were in the locker room and they were laughing. They were laughing in the locker room and said, quote, catch you on Monday, when asked about the team's embarrassing defensive showing. They were laughing, joking in the locker room, said, yeah, catch you on Monday, whenever the press tried to ask them something. Such players included Chris Jenkins, Ja'Marr Stewart, Jordan Battle, Miles Murphy, and TJ Slayton. Holy crap, are the red flags a-flying.
I see a lot of young guys that don't give a shit.
Exactly. These aren't veterans. Wait, maybe Chris Jenkins is. I don't know. But a lot of these guys, I don't even think, have 3 full seasons under their belt. There is a cultural rot. And you know what? Don't whine to me about Joe Burrow's injury. Do not say anything about their cap woes, which are real. Once again, thanks, Burrow and Chase. But you need to fire Zach Taylor, because this goes beyond injuries and starts becoming a culture. When your defense that got steamrolled is laughing and saying to the press, catch you on Monday, after giving up 47 points, and these are all the young guys too, that screams culture. Zach Taylor has to go. It's been long overdue.
Tuck.
All right, I'm going to start with the good first, and that's the Bears. Congratulations to the Bears. They play, even though the Bears' defense was lacking, I will say that the Bears' offense came to play. I thought Caleb Williams did extremely well, doing all that he could to win the game, both throwing and running, and even catching a few passes, which I thought was impressive. not going to lie, the head coach was in his bag. I was happy for Ben Johnson. He showed off the duffel bag today. 47 points, a couple of trickery plays. And all in all, the game-winning touchdown from Caleb Williams to Jacob Loveland. First off, you brought up Jordan Battle. He was one of those players that cost them the game with that touchdown. He was one of the key players that did that. So we'll get to him in a second. But overall, the Bears, after a bad loss to the Ravens, bounced back and had a must-win game against the hapless, horrible Bengals with that defense. They were down, and then they came back to win the game. So I'm happy for Caleb. This is good for his confidence and good for him moving forward. It's good for Ben Johnson and just good for the Bears franchise as a whole. And hopefully they're able to fix the things that they have on defense over there, because they're not a bad defense, but if they're not getting turnovers, it could be problematic. But they did get a few turnovers, and they were able to do just enough to win the game. Let's get to the Bengals. Good Lord, that defense is bad. I thought my Ravens defense was bad. There's no way that there's 11 people playing on defense. There has to be something going on over there. It's bad. They were bad last year, and I think they're even worse. They gave up 47 points. And that game-winning touchdown that they gave up. Did you see Geno Stone and Jordan Battle miss that tackle?
There's three of them.
There's three of them right there, and they can't even make the tackle. And he just runs away from – it's not only that he broke the – he's running away from them to score the touchdowns. Everyone's talking about the two interceptions Joe Flacco threw. He threw 470 yards and put up 47 points, and you still – I mean 42 points. 42 points, and you still lose the game and give up 47. I understand Ja'Marr Chase's attitude about the situation. I understand that the offense is a little bit annoyed at the defense, but they cannot be this way, because as much as you want to be pissed off about the defense, you knew about it going into the season. You had no problems about your contract, and you knew about it, knew that the defense was going to be lacking going into the season. And you've known about it for a while, because you wanted a big deal. Joe Burrow got his deal, and T. Higgins got his deal. What do you think is going to happen to the other side of the football when you ask for those deals? It's going to look the way that it looks. And the Bengals, the organization that it is, allowed it to happen. And they've done nothing outside of drafting Ja'Marr Stewart and keeping Trey Hendrickson for only the season and doing that. And outside of that, the only other competent player I see on that side of the ball is maybe Demetrius Wright, who's a rookie. Outside of that, and as far as I'm concerned, it's only going to get worse, because they still have to see the Ravens twice, and they still have other teams that they're going to have to face. They might finish third in the division. Actually, they will finish third, because I think the Ravens and Steelers are going to finish ahead of them. But this is a bad situation. And the offense is actually really good, despite Joe Burrow not being there. So they're still putting up the points, but the defense is so abysmal, it doesn't matter in the long run. I picked Cincinnati to win this game because I thought they would put up enough points to win the game. And I'm shocked to say 42 points is still not enough to win them the game. Oh, no. If they're saying this stuff out loud, imagine what they're saying inside the locker room. That's the thing I'm curious about. And the worst thing about this situation is, imagine if next week after their bye and they go into another game where the defense stands tall and the offense can't put points on the board. That's going to look really weird. And so all in all, it's just a bad situation in Cincinnati. But hey, they did this to themselves with their cap situation.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that it's one thing when you have three guys taking up half your cap, but it's another thing when you just can't build a good roster to begin with too. Never mind. So there's that. Bengals defense, we're scoring defense right now. They've given up the most rushing yards and the most passing yards, and they have garnered the sixth fewest amount of sacks. Right now we're recording this Monday, November 3rd, 2:31 PM, with the trade deadline Tuesday at 4. So by the time you guys listen to this, trade deadline is going to be up, going to be right at the tail end of the trade deadline. And of course, Trey Hendrickson, his name has been floating around. Another one, of course, another stat that Adam's throwing at us right now, third lowest pressure rate produced in 2025 at 14%. Goodness. Even with Trey Hendrickson and Shamar Stewart, just cannot.
Dude, Stewart hasn't done anything this year.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Also, the Bengals want a first for Trey Hendrickson, to which I say, Bengals, you are in no
position
and jack from anyone. You're going to get your third, and you'll like it.
Yeah. He's 29, about to be 30 in December. He's on a one-year deal for $29 million, and they want a first-round pick for that, where the production doesn't meet that? Sorry, no. He has 4 sacks on the season. That, what are they smoking?
Yeah. Hendrickson has not played up to any sort of expectation of garnering a shit, even a market value contract because of the way he's performing this year. Because at this point, take last year out the window. What you're putting up right now is what you're going to get. But yeah, who knows? By the time you guys listen to this, Trey Hendrickson could potentially be on the move, could potentially not. Yeah. According to Diana Russini, currently the asking price is still a first round pick. So Tuesday should be interesting. And of course, we can always just revert back to CJ's saying of nothing ever happens until Mike Parsons gets traded to the Packers.
The one time something happened. Yeah. Goddamn.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the week 9, top 3, bottom 3, and maybe talk about Monday Night Football, depending on if anything good happens. This is the Fumble Brewski Podcast.
I've always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Monday Night Football, not a big upset. It's a solid upset, though. Jacoby Brissett and the Cardinals getting the win against the Cowboys, 27-17. Whew. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, I mean, this Cardinals offense has looked a lot different and a lot better with Jacoby Brissett under center. And a lot can be said on the other side of the football, too, with the Cardinals holding this Cowboys offense to only 17 points and just giving Dak and the rest of the offense just absolute fits. But the story really here is that, you know, Jacoby Brissett battling for that starting job at this point, making it seem that Kyler might not have a starting spot, but a report just came out. Jonathan Gannon after the game said he's sticking by Kyler, but Jacoby Brissett has earned more playing time. So Kyler is still the starter whenever he comes back from injury. But I think the writing might be on the wall for Kyler here. You know, he's been in the league for how long? How long has he been in the league for?
This would be
he was drafted in 2019. You do the math.
I think this would be his 6th or 7th season.
Jesus Christ. 6, 7. Sorry. Fuck.
Condemn you to hell.
I'm sorry. I can't believe I just did that.
Oh, I can.
Yeah. So anyways, 6th or 7th year, but, don't get me riled up, Tuck. Like it's been long enough where like, we should be seeing something out of Kyler right now. You know, he was a number one.
This is officially his 7th season. I just counted.
7th season. He was the number one overall pick, and this is his 7th season. And he's showed nothing to be like, yeah, no, I deserve to be that number one pick. And, like, making that draft pick worth something for the Cardinals. Especially right now. Tuck, we'll start with you.
It's weird to me because the last time I felt like he was, like, making strides to be the franchise guy was when they made the playoffs, and that was what, 2021?
Yep.
The last time they made the playoffs? That was so long ago. COVID was still around back then. Oh my.
They lost to the Rams.
Yeah. And then he signed that big contract, and we heard about the stipulations surrounding that contract. And it's like, ooh, is this really what you want to hand the franchise to? Some guy that doesn't even study film? Or at least that's what it was suggested. And now it's, now we're here, and it feels like he hasn't taken any steps forward from where he was 2-3 years in the league. I thought Kyler Murray was going to be like a top 10, top 5 quarterback because of his ability throwing the football and his ability to extend plays with his legs. And I'm not going to lie, I haven't felt like he's been playing up to that caliber in a long time. Don't get me wrong, he'll have a few splash plays here and there where you see the potential, you see what he could be, but it's like, it's not enough. I don't think he's done enough for him to be like flat out gone yet, because I do not believe Jacoby Brissett is the future of the Arizona Cardinals. Far from it. He'll have a game where you'll be like, there's a reason he's a backup. But I think the time is starting to tick on Kyler Murray if he doesn't do something of merit. I'm sick and tired of waiting for something to happen with Kyler. I just need him to go out there and do it. That's where I'm at with him. And this game was indicative of that. Because without him, they were able to beat the Cowboys. I want to see what they're able to do with him now.
CJ?
It's not even, to what Tuck said, it's not even that the Cardinals are able to beat the Cowboys without Kyler Murray. It's that if they did have him, I genuinely don't think that they would have beaten him. I really don't. A lot of it, to me, just comes down to a very basic eye test. Jacoby Brissett just looks better than Kyler Murray. The team, the offense, looks better when he's under center. It runs smoother. It produces more yards. It produces more points when Brissett is under center. And even though he's, he's like, now 1-2 as their starter. But at the end of the day, they even look better. These games are close. And that's pretty damning for Kyler Murray, who before he got hurt had 962 yards, six touchdowns, three interceptions, pass rating of 88.6. It's passable, but you don't want your former first overall pick to be, you know, just passable. And as I have his stats in front of me right now, across the 7 seasons he's been in the league, and I know stats aren't the end-all be-all, but he's only made the playoffs once in his entire career. He went 0-1 in that time. There's only once in his 7 years where he had a passer rating above 100. He's never had over 30 touchdowns in a season. His ceiling seems to be 26. This is passing, not total. And he had 3,800 yards in 2024, or 3,851. And the only other time that he got anything better than that was where he had 3,971 in 2020. He's never cracked 4,000 yards. He's never thrown for more than 30 touchdowns in a season. He's only ever had a pass rating above 100 once. I don't think I can stress enough that is bad. Not to mention, especially as of late, he's had some durability concerns. He missed some games in 2021 where he only started 14. I mean, that's still pretty good. Then he started 11 in 2022, 8 in 2023. Then he started all 17 games in 2024. That's good. And now he's only played 5 this season. So of his 7 seasons, there are 4 of them. That's over half where he has missed time. His career stats, completion percentage of 67.1. That's pretty good.
Come on. Are you kidding me?
Come on, grow up. Okay. Total passing yards over 7 seasons, 20,460. That's just not very good. That's not even 4,000 a season. Then you factor in 121 total passing touchdowns to 60 interceptions. That's not great. That's an average of 24 touchdowns to 12 picks a year. So 2-1, it's not terrible, but you know, it's not gonna, especially only 24 a season, that's not exactly gonna wow anybody. And they say, oh, but he makes up for it with his legs. He's got 32 touchdowns on the ground. Oh, my God, that's so cool. Yeah, you want to know what's not cool? He has 51 fumbles. I don't know about
that. That's actually like an egregious amount of fumbles.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know how many of these fumbles are fumbles lost. But the fact that he has put the ball on the ground 51 times, including 13 in one season, that's not great. And so, yeah. And 32 touchdowns, right? That's crazy. Except 11 of those rushing touchdowns came in one season. So he's got 21 across six. That's 3 a year. So that's not terrible, but still, like, he just, I think we are long enough into his career to realize he is not the guy. In fact, NFL insider, very reputable source, Mike Florio, he admits this, saying, and I quote, "That said, an off-season trade is very realistic, if not likely. The current regime did not draft him. The current regime did not sign him to a second contract. The current regime has yet to be able to pick its own quarterback. And with the current regime staring at 3 years of not making it to the postseason, one way to successfully finagle a fourth season will be to lobby ownership for the ability to draft, to sign, or to trade for a new starter." So that is Mike Florio saying that this offseason, moving on from Kyler Murray, is not just possible, but perhaps likely. 36 fumbles lost. Adam just came in clutch there. Thank you, Adam.
That was
so great job. And compared that, by the way, remember, like I said, 36 fumbles lost, right? Compared to 32 rushing touchdowns. Egregious. Disgusting, even.
You want to... I'll give you something.
All per the greatest site ever, Pro Football Reference.
I'll give you something else that's probably just as disgusting. Tonight, obviously everyone's listening to tomorrow morning, or comes out Tuesday. This game was the first game that they've had that didn't end in a one-score game this season.
Oh,
like imagine like if Kyler Murray played any type of level better than what he has all season, or at least in the last however many seasons, like Cardinals could have a winning record. We could be having a much different conversation about Arizona. We really could, which if you're a Cardinals fan, that's frightening to say or frightening to hear. For reference to all of this, Lamar Jackson has lost 27 fumbles in how many games there, Adam?
In what?
In more games.
In more games. Never mind.
Also one more stat I'd like to throw out there. Kyler Murray has a QB record of 38-48-1. If you break that down over 17 game average, he's averaging going about 7-10 a season. The best record the Cardinals have ever had with him as a starter was when he only played 14 games in 2021 and went 9-5.
So you're telling me on average he is the quarterback version of Jeff Fisher?
I am. You know,
Jeff Fisher is actually better.
Actually,
Jeff Fisher is like the king of going 7-9.
Well, 7-9, 8-8. His career win percentage, I think, is barely above 500 because he had some good seasons with Tennessee. But
obviously.
But that was, Blaine Bishop, I think, could tell you about that.
Yeah.
But we're getting off topic. So overall, real quick, when he played, granted, he did miss some time, but he went 5-10-1, 8-8, 9-5, 3-8, 3-5, 8-9, and now this season 2-3 so far. He is not the future.
No.
And I think this front office, if Mike Florio's report is any indication, knows it too.
Yeah.
But where
does that is our recap of – oh, sorry, Tuck.
No, my thing is, where does he go from here? Any team that's bad is probably looking upwards for a quarterback. I don't think it's the Jets because they'll be looking at number one overall, and I think the quarterback LSU is probably going number one. So it
can't be. Nussmeier? No, he's not. No, he is not. But that's a debate for another day.
As in, like, the number one quarterback to go, or
just to go in the draft, or just in general? I'm just throwing names out, but they're looking for quarterbacks.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I would too at this rate. That's our recap of Monday Night Football. And boy, a lot of could get very interesting down in Arizona. Week 9, top 3, bottom 3. We're talking about this at the top of the show. You know, this week was a lot better week in terms of, the amount of close games that we had, a lot of competitive games that we had compared to last week. Much better. We start with an upset that we didn't see coming. The Panthers, 16-13 win against the Packers. The fact that they only allowed 13 points to the Packers is pretty insane. Offensively, it wasn't the greatest either, but Panthers are hot. They are rolling. That's really the long and the short of this at the end of the day.
And they're over 500.
And they're over 500. Who would have thought? The Bills. Anytime you can beat the Chiefs at home, especially in a close game, because those games are always emotional. Bills defense showed up, forced Mahomes to have a sub 50% completion percentage. Huge win. Now it's back. That's back-to-back wins now for Buffalo. The Vikings. First game back for J.J. McCarthy. And they get the win against Detroit. Huge victory. Huge victory. That's all you can really say about that. They caught the Lions napping off the bye as well. Bottom three. We'll keep it with the that Panthers Packers game. The Packers. Jordan Love played like ass. He was not good. Probably had one of the worst throws I've ever seen. Granted, one of the worst drop picks I've ever seen on the Panthers side, but that's beside the point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should have caught it. Like I said, that's besides the point. They only put up 13 points against the Panthers, who, what, like 3 weeks ago lost, or last week lost 40-9 to the Bills. Insane. Did I say the Panthers were on a winning streak? Because obviously that is some misinformation if I did say that.
You said they're rolling and they're hot.
Yeah, you said they're rolling.
Yeah,
streak.
Well, I should really clarify that they're rolling when Bryce Young is playing. I should really say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have fun editing that up for the TikTok reel. Jesus Christ. I might just edit that entire part out. Colts. Basically got exposed into looking like a fair weather dome team. First time playing in any sort of cold weather this season, and 5 turnovers later and they lose 27-20. And we were talking about this earlier too. Next 2 weeks they're on the road. They're going to overseas next week, and it's not going to be great weather over there. They got to go to Kansas City the week after. It's going to be cold over there. So not what you're looking for if you're Indianapolis. And then Miami, last team on the bottom three. Poor showing against Baltimore on prime time. Tua looked like dog shit per usual.
That's
one thing about Tua is that, like, oh my god, he needs to stop blaming. He needs to take some accountability. Like, geez, how about you remember that quote when he was like, hey, you know, like, I'm not gonna be able to throw 50 yards at Tua. How about you should figure out
what if he just physically can't?
Then he shouldn't be a quarterback.
He shouldn't have been signed to however ridiculous the deal looks now. And that's your week 9 top 3, bottom 3.
Fair, but I actually have no idea how far he can actually throw it, so that's a good question.
He's probably in the bottom half of the league. That is as nice as I'll be.
Yeah. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Oh, and Dolphins also fired their GM, Chris Greer.
Mm-hmm. It's up.
Yep. That happened over the weekend, right?
Yep, it happened the next day on Friday.
That's right. That's right. And we weren't able to report on it. So this is us reporting on it. This is us reporting on it. Bang. All right. That's all the scheduled content that we have for you today. You guys got anything else?
Yeah. You want to talk about the pick'em results?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Please.
Well, I can make it very simple. This week's winner was Tuck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He got 8 predictions right. Chris, you and Adam tied at 7.
Nice.
Oh, man, I'm on a roll. That's 2 weeks in a row.
Damn.
Don't worry.
How many games were there this week again? There was 12? How many games were there this week again? There was like 12? I'm trying to think of the math on that.
13.
13? Oh, damn.
8 out.
Barely over 13. That's gross. All right. Now that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Fumble Rooski Podcast. New episode coming out on Friday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros. He's Justin Tucker. Adam Wright. Our glorious director, producer guy. Yeah, there we go. I'm Chris Gostich signing off. We'll see you Friday.